Welcome back to another beautiful episode of Dumb Nerd Thing. I'm your host, Teddy, and today, producer Colin and I are talking about The Mandalorian, number one, because the new season's coming out soon, and number two, because we are doing a super fun... It's not super fun, we're dying. We're doing a Let's Play of the 2002 video game Star Wars Bounty Hunter over on twitch.tv/dumbnerdthing. I'm also doing some live shows over there. We're doing some Star Wars RPG, some D&D, of course, the Bounty Hunter playthrough, all that over on twitch.tv/dumbnerdthing. So on top of this podcast goodness, I promised I would not use the word goodness. But yeah, we check us out on Twitch. Now we're doing a lot of stuff over there. It's pretty fun. But yeah, listen to our drunken ramblings about The Mandalorian. It's going to be a fun two-parter. Enjoy.
What a great anecdote, Colin. That reminds me.
I got cut recently. And I found out my blood is very hot. I don't know how to explain it, but like, you know how water's hot, it makes that noise?
Mm-hmm.
That's the noise my blood makes whenever it touches the surface. What color is your blood?
It's red.
Mine's black.
You ever have bad dreams, Colin?
Every night. My life is a bad dream.
I'm drinking this out of a straw and it's weird.
But it's silent. It flies like a cloud. Yeah. So, could you do that again?
Yeah, okay. We're going to do a little test here. Can you hear me drinking? See, I wasn't drinking. So, if you said yes, you're a fucking liar.
Yeah, get off the podcast.
Now, tell me if you can hear me drinking now. See, I wasn't drinking again, you fucking liar.
No, okay, so now I think at this point we've weeded out. Wow, that's incredible. It flies as softly as a cloud.
I wasn't even drinking.
Gross.
I wasn't even drinking.
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
I have a very important question for you.
I got an answer. Let's see if they match up.
Well, you go first then.
17.
I was going to ask you what your opinion was of Boba Fett early on. So I don't think
how
that answer
early on
lines up. As early as you can remember.
I don't remember ever really caring about Boba Fett. Who was I? Because in any Star Wars video game I would play, Boba Fett would have a jetpack. I'm not a big video game guy, so it takes me a long time to learn controls.
Mm-hmm.
Jetpacks are very hard for me, so Boba Fett was a no-go.
Interesting.
I'm thinking of Battlefront.
Mm-hmm. Lego Star Wars.
My opinion on Boba Fett... my earliest opinion, I don't think I really had much.
Django?
I love Django. I was Django for Halloween, as has been said. I didn't have both guns, but I had one of his guns, and I had the full, like, it was a real costume. It wasn't like a DIY. I was probably 8. It was sweet. I love Django Fett.
Yeah. I went as Boba Fett to the Phantom Menace premiere, which... had
you would have
nothing to do with anything.
Well, you know, it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of people were OT. I bet that had the largest OT cosplay of any film.
Really? You think more than Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, only because it probably had more people dressing up. Because it had hype, and of course, 99 was a different year than 83.
Nerd culture was on the rise.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of nerd culture.
I fucking hate it. But yeah, I was a big fan of Boba Fett because my dad had a lot of toys, and there were a lot of great Boba Fett toys. And he's just cool. But I remember, you know, obviously grew up more with the prequels, so, you know, he was always connected very tightly with Jango Fett, who I was also a huge fan of. I had one of the guns, too, and, like, he's just, like, it's just, like, such a perfect design for a toy for kids.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like designed specifically to be cool to kids. You know, which like if looking at it with like a grown-up lens, it's like it's kind of super lame, you know. But
well, I mean, it doesn't feel like Boba Fett was George Lucas always says he was surprised by the popularity of Boba Fett because of it was just a great design. Because he was originally going to be a stormtrooper.
Yeah, yeah. Boba Fett's it's a weird space because they did do a big marketing push for Boba Fett before the movie came out.
That's right. He was in the holiday special. He was in some of the promos.
He was in his first public appearance of Boba Fett was a parade.
Yeah. Is that the same parade where David Prowse spoiled?
Possibly. I don't know that.
The end of No, that was...
David Prowse, of course, the body actor for Darth Vader.
Yeah, he spoiled Empire. He said that Darth Vader was Luke's father. Spoilers for Empire.
Oh.
Spoilers,
and,
ahoy, matey. The whole convention booed. Because he was like, "What? It's in the movie."
I thought David Prowse didn't know.
Yeah. Because there's a story that no one knew except for Luke, mm-hmm. because
Luke and
David Prowse said the line. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely another story. I mean, I don't know what's true.
Yeah.
There's definitely another story where he spoiled it at a convention. Maybe it was in between that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know when they saw the.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine it was too close. It was too far from the movie release, so mm-hmm.
could have seen it. Yeah,
maybe it was an idea George Lucas was kicking around. And...
But yeah, Boba Fett started as a stormtrooper, and so his prototype armor that you see at the parade is all white, which is like popular enough that not to date this podcast, but this year Hasbro produced like a replica prop that you can wear of the prototype Boba Fett armor.
That's cool.
It's just the Boba Fett helmet painted.
There's a Lego Boba Fett prototype as well. There's a Lego figure.
Yeah, it looks good. So yeah, I mean Boba Fett, like, it's weird. Like, he exists in this like ethereal world where he's not really prominent in the movies, you know, and like there's not really a reason for him to be popular besides people like him and like marketing. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, he's probably the most recognizable Star Wars, Darth Vader, R2-D2, Death Star, Yoda, and then probably Boba Fett is mm-hmm. probably the most recognizable Star Wars icon.
Yeah.
The lightsaber. Maybe even more so, but I feel like he's the kind of thing that people who don't know Star Wars, you know, this late in the game.
Yeah.
And just see him and be like, why is Boba Fett so cool? You know, he's in it for a very short amount of time.
He's definitely the proportionally of amount of time and relevance to the story to icon. He is it's the biggest for him.
Yeah, the biggest disparity.
So irrelevant, but is so important. Not much is known about him, so he existed in the EU a lot, the expanded universe,
right.
The comics, video games, books, etc. You know, he had lived a long time, so he was like, you know, still bounty hunting late on. He had a daughter that was killed by Han Solo's kid. It's crazy.
Jason Solo?
Yeah, Jason killed his daughter under interrogation.
Hold on. Barbara Fett.
No, he named her Django after. He didn't. He didn't. No.
Because Django wouldn't have been in
something fell. Yet. Ronan fell or something like that. That's not it.
Who's his wife?
He reproduces asexually.
By budding. That's right. They say that in the movie.
Yeah, that's the one thing George Lucas...
He says, put Captain Solo in the cargo hold. Also, I reproduce by budding.
What I'm getting at is that Boba Fett, like, low-tier player in the story, high-tier player in the social consciousness.
Yeah.
Right, so it's... Exactly. It's interesting to how there's been talk about a Boba Fett movie for a long time, especially ever since Disney got Star Wars.
Before that, though, I remember the fake trailer where he gets out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, I mean, fans, you know, calling for it because fans are...
He's wearing the wrong armor.
Stupid. What do you mean?
He's got the green jetpack. Jetpack he has in Empire and not the blue one. Cut that, please. I'm embarrassed to know that.
Well, I mean, the amount of times I've complained about not having Empire Boba Fett's armor in Battlefront 2.
That's right. Yeah, but that's in the privacy of our own home, not on this public forum with our millions and millions of fans.
You're right. It's only here in our public forum, located
at... I'm going to hear a beep over that. Or glass breaking.
So yeah, but then of course eventually they did make a Boba Fett series in The Mandalorian. Because I think we're in agreement that it was likely the Boba Fett movie script.
I literally was going to say that.
A Boba Fett and IG-88.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Like, that is exactly what I was going to say.
Was the Boba Fett movie was the first two, or the first and third episodes, and then the last two episodes of...
Probably a mishmash of different ideas, but I think that that's generally they took from
the Mandalorian series on available now on Disney Plus
or Dumb Nerd Things streams.
Disney Plus does not sponsor us. Those sons of bitches.
Not yet. They will. I'm in talks with
those pieces of shit. I'm in talks with
Disney.
It's a dumb platform.
You're gonna get bullshit.
So yeah, the Mandalorian series was announced and teased and got information coming out of it, and I was very I find it easy to get excited for things because I just am optimistic that it might be good, but I also have been burned so many times.
We've been hurt. I would not describe myself as optimistic.
Yeah, but like, things started coming out about it, and it's like, it can go one or two ways. One way, he's like hanging out with Jabba, and he's hanging out with Bosk, and he's hanging out with, like, I don't know, like, there are Jedi in it, and all this stuff, showing up.
Filoniisms.
Yeah. Where it's just, like, a bunch of references, and, like, it, like, escalates to where it's important to the whole galaxy. Or it could go the way it did go, where there are references, but they're not, you know, it makes sense in the world that it exists in for the most part, you know, like, Tatooine has pit droids, you know,
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. What's your
opinion? Like, the references in it aren't overt,
Like,
it makes sense, because that's the world of Star Wars, that these are the aliens in Star Wars, and these are the robots in Star Wars.
I mean, if you have a Star Wars show with zero relation to Star Wars, well,
that's not right.
You have to have something. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't want to be slapped in the face again and again.
Yeah.
Remember Star Wars.
Yeah, and the thing has to have substance behind it. Like, once you say, I remember that, what else is there to say about it?
Right, it has to have a role in the story. Every piece matters.
Mm-hmm. So I was blown away by The Mandalorian. It was really refreshing. It was very muted by the standards set by the movies.
Well, can we, in our last, this is sort of a sequel a year later, our last
Star Wars episode,
although it's probably, this will be posted less than a year later, but I think The Mandalorian was announced,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about how what a joke it was going to be, because it was just going to be the Boba Fett marketing ship, and just to shove more crap in our face and toys and all that nonsense. And we knew it was going to be horrible, and up until I said all the things that were going to be in it that were going to suck, Boba Fett's going to show up, whatever, just a bunch of stuff that is bullshit. And then we saw the first episode, and honestly, I wasn't really that impressed.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into that later. But then the rest of the show came out, and I was like, oh, this is actually kind of good.
Especially the Jawa episode, episode two, with the Jawas. I was amazed that it was so... it was just about him getting his ship parts back from the Jawas, and that's it.
Yeah, very self-contained.
Yeah.
It's definitely, as you said, it's definitely carries the weight of post 2014-15 Disney Star Wars, where it looks really good, and there's like practical effects, and there's this filter on it where mm-hmm. it's like Rogue One, Solo, Solo is a different story, but all the sequel movies, they have the same look and like mm-hmm. practical effects, and like it's like a cheap imitation.
It was like a fan film.
Not even a fan film. It looks like it looks like Star Wars, but it looks like a hollow shell of Star Wars, you know? Because mm-hmm. it doesn't have the heart and the story. And it was never about, like, you know, the set designs did play a huge part in it. But it just had this, like, look to it where you felt like this is going to be another sequel Disney Star Wars production. And then it was not.
Yeah, I think a big part of that is that a lot of it feels so lived in. You know, a lot of the parts, like, are interacted with. Like, think of if we can talk about Force Awakens here real quick. Think of, like, the Mos Eisley Cantina in A New Hope versus the Cantina scene in Force Awakens. They don't go up to the counter to order a drink in the Force Awakens Cantina. They don't talk to any of the aliens besides Maz, who's, like, a main character and has butthole eyes and...
played by Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah.
But she's kicking herself now. Oh, she probably got a big check.
Yeah. She's kicking herself in her new house.
Yeah.
So the Mos Eisley Cantina, they don't, like, interact with anybody there, really. You have, the aliens are talking about them, but it's just, like, who remembers that cantina? Who, like...
Can you... Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you hum the tune of the... original Star Wars cantina theme. Can you hum at all the Force Awakens cantina theme? I couldn't tell you what. There was a viral thing that I saw, like, you know, back in when Force Awakens was coming out, that J.J. Abrams, like, dressed up, like, as, like, someone who wouldn't be noticed and played the theme from... I wonder what it's called. I'm gonna look it up.
From what?
From the cantina in Force Awakens. I'll just look up
Force Awakens. Maz's Castle?
Yeah.
It's just called that.
No, it's got a song name.
Oh my god.
But
he in the same Mos Eisley cantina, you know, like, he interacts with the droid there. And the droid, like, talks about a little bit about, like, oh, we don't have any, you know, bounty hunter things going on right now. Like, you feel a bit more about the world, you know. He's interacting more with the cantina itself, you know. It's, there are a lot of little things like that where it's just, things just have more of a purpose than remember this, you know.
But that's definitely the biggest offender in a show that episode sticks out.
Yeah, it does.
In a show where they don't usually do that at all.
Especially, like, I don't mind...
Tatooine's a dangerous planet to go to for your world building because it's...
Like, they
carries a lot of weight.
Shots from A New Hope of, like, him flying in...
on the Razor Crest?
On the Razor Crest into Mos Eisley. It's like the same shot of Luke and Obi-Wan looking over. And, like, the guy sitting in the same booth that Han Solo was sitting in. And, right. Like, all that. Like...
And the bartender who didn't like droids is now a droid, voiced by Mark Hamill.
Yes. But, like...
That's a Dave Filoni directed episode, if I've ever seen one.
I love a lot of the stuff Dave Filoni has done, but he also seems to really enjoy those types of references and Easter eggs.
I love Dave Filoni. I think he's done a lot of great things for Star Wars, but he hits those references a little hard.
Yeah, I feel like the storytelling he does is, like, real true Star Wars, and then the stuff he puts in it
bogs it down.
Star Wars fan. Because he's a huge fucking Star Wars fan.
Yeah, how are you gonna?
I can't dig him for that. Knock him for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think also one thing that made me have respect for it, like my respect for it, shoot way up, is that they didn't market Baby Yoda beforehand.
That's amazing. I can't believe
incredible.
That. I wouldn't have even watched it if they had.
They lost probably like $80 million at least because when it came out, toy manufacturers weren't able to make stuff in time for Christmas. So Baby Yoda stuff wasn't ready for Christmas.
Wow.
But if they had marketed it ahead of time, because if they had let marketing and toy companies know ahead of time, then they would have had stuff available for Christmas and made so much fucking money.
Is it, if I'm
Disney... 80 million's underselling it.
So, when did The Mandalorian come out? I want to say it was like...
October or November.
Yeah, I want to say it was probably closer to October. Because, I mean, the marketing had to, was certainly before it started, obviously. Can you let a toy company know, I'll give you this design, but you can't release it until, like, late November?
Yes, but, especially Lego, this shit gets out.
Yeah.
And it gets out in all kinds of ways.
Leaking all sorts of.
It's a lot harder to keep a tight lid on something, especially something like, I would imagine something like Baby Yoda. Like,
they had to know they were sitting on a gold mine.
They had to know. Oh yeah, he's so fucking cute.
Because like all the effort that goes into him being like so cute and like really cute, not like Porgs where just the eyes are bigger, or like
he acts cute.
He's got that little waddle. And and I saw on Twitter, somebody was like, oh, appreciation post for Baby Yoda's waddle. And someone, like, one of the puppeteers, who is no one we know, but, well, I'll tell you in a second. He was like, you don't know how many, like, hours we put into trying to get that waddle perfect.
Like, to make it work. I love that, man.
Yeah. But what I was talking about, I don't think the person works for ILM, but what famous actor of one of my favorite movies, specifically mine and mine alone, works for, not alone, but of all the, you know, of all my peers, I share this belief with only myself, what actor works for Industrial
Labyrinth? The baby from Labyrinth.
The baby from Labyrinth. Yeah. I wonder if it was him.
Yeah, it could have been. Shout out to the baby from Labyrinth.
I should make sure that's true before I put that out there. I'm almost positive.
Okay. No, it is true. In fact,
yeah. Here at Dumb Nerd Thing, we don't.
He did. He also, you know, how he got that job.
He made the sound for the TIE Fighters, if I recall.
No, he worked on. 3 years later. He did the puppeteering for almost all the puppets on Labyrinth.
That's crazy, because he was a baby.
Yeah, yeah, no, he just, he took the reins.
He was a real go-getter, yeah. Who doesn't miss David Bowie?
I will never be able to get over the fact that Werner Herzog is a prominent character.
Okay, that's what I wanted, that's actually what I want to talk about. His insistence, because they were going to make the Baby Yoda CGI, and he was like, you cowards, you cannot make him a puppet. He will not be CGI.
You must make... I can't want to put my Werner Herzog on.
No, you don't.
You must make the baby.
I would like to see the baby.
I would like to see the baby.
But he called them all cowards, which I love.
I love that. Yeah, no, he's great. And he kills it in the show, too.
He's great. Everybody is great in the show. Impossibly, they made Carl Weathers... great in the show, which is so hard
I
to
love
get
Carl
over.
Weathers. You can't get over his Arrested Development.
Yeah, I don't dislike him at all, but I cannot get over him playing. The fact also that he plays Carl Weathers in Arrested Development. Every time he's on screen, I'm like, oh yeah, that's Carl Weathers.
You gotta watch Rocky and Predator.
I've seen Rocky. Rocky's great. I think I've seen all the Rockies. I love the Rocky movies.
It's great movies. All right, this is now a Rocky podcast.
Hey, I'd rather that than a Pocky Rodcast.
No, this has been a Rocky podcast since episode one.
Oh! Bada bing. Did you hear that? Hey, did you hear what he said? He said it was a Rocky podcast. They don't care.
There's no one there.
Shout out to our studio crew, our production crew,
yeah.
And to our groupies who are...
outside of our house. Our house located at...
another glass crash is going to be.
Oh, shit, I dropped my vase.
My flowers.
It's all right. I'll get them eventually.
We're talking about Rocky. You know what else is Rocky? Is Tatooine, which is where episode 5 of The Mandalorian takes place.
Yes. That one's just so. I mean, there's like that one. I think the pacing is a little off for me because he goes and they successfully get the bounty, and then he comes back, and there's like the tiff where the other bounty hunter has Baby Yoda and Amy Sedaris, and he wins. And it's just like, it's just the
Son
pacing
of
it.
Cannavale.
Right. the pacing of that episode isn't doesn't work super well for me. Getting the job randomly from Bobby Cannavale's son, and then going out to get that bounty, and like there's like a journey to get, like I was expecting the getting the bounty to be the end of the episode.
Yeah, I think that would have made it more more a little simpler, a little more contained, and I mean simpler as a positive. I know it can go both ways.
I would have liked it to be either later or earlier that they get the bounty. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yes, I agree. I agree. Do you think that the end... This is a stupid... This is like... Nobody comes to the podcast for like this type of discourse. But do you think the end...
Hey, let me correct you real quick.
Nobody comes to our podcast.
Comes to this podcast at all.
Anyway. the end, there's a shadowy figure who stands over... the lady bounty hunter who's now dead or something. Do you think that's a...
I believe that is Mulan.
There's a lot of Mulans.
No, I'm sorry. The anime, that's the voice of animated Mulan.
Interesting. But do you think that is a, like, potential character reveal, or do you think that is... what's his name?
Moff Gideon.
Moff Gideon, thank
Moff
you.
Breaking Bad.
Yes. Slash Community.
Yes.
He's on one episode of Community. Yeah. That's...
He's
probably
the dean of the rival city college.
No, he's not. He's Pierce's... Maybe he...
You're right. He is Pierce's brother, half-brother.
Yeah, his father's assistant, but also wound up being his half-brother.
No, I don't think that's Moff Gideon, because there's not really a reason that it would be Moff Gideon in the story. Because if it was Moff Gideon, then the finale would have tied it back to that appearance, you know what I mean?
Yes, you're right, because he's already been revealed. I first saw it, I didn't notice it. I rewatched
it
and knew it was coming, and then saw it and thought, oh, okay, it's gotta be. Yeah, I don't think it is either. I think it's probably Boba Fett.
It's probably Boba Fett. It's on Tatooine, you know?
Before we talk about season 2, which isn't out yet,
I guess we're... I mean, we haven't said anything really so far to spoil anything, but we're going to do spoilers from here on out.
I don't think any... Well, I guess, you know, I don't know.
Spoilers.
What sick freaks watch this podcast?
Let me tell you right now. Only sick freaks want to listen to this podcast.
Maybe when we do spoilers, like we did for Twin Peaks, instead of having Laura Palmer's theme, we could have the...
Could be. Or
that would be really fun.
I could just do
McClunky.
Okay, spoilers. You want to just go through the episodes?
Yeah.
Episode 1 is my least favorite episode by far.
I really like it. I think
even on a rewatch, I was like, this is not the most engaging story to me.
I really like it. I think it's got a good... I mean, I don't want to repeat praise and whatever, but it does have a good pacing of like revealing things one by one. You know, it's has a great establishing scene of who the Mandalorian is and what he's about.
But the Mandalorian is so cool in that first scene.
He is so cool.
But I mean that as a negative. He lassos the guy and he cuts another guy with the door, which is pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet. But then, he loves cutting people with doors.
He takes somebody. Does he do it more than once?
He does it to Clancy Brown in the Prison Break episode.
Oh, does he? I don't know if I remember that. There's a couple of repeating shots, which I'll want to talk about. And repeating, like, elements. And then he takes the guy in, and he dodges the slug monster, whatever that was. And then the guy sneaks around, but he's there instantly to catch him and put him in carbonite. I hate when people use carbonite.
Here's the thing, though. That is probably the coolest he is almost the whole series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is great. You establish him as cool so that when he gets beaten down, you know, it's like... Because that he's established as so cool, and then he gets, like, almost murdered by a blurg.
In
which
Jawas.
Is called a blurg.
Yeah. Is that a Clone Wars invention?
I think so. Or Rebels.
I think it's Clone Wars. I think there's some blurgs on Ryloth, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure it's where Saw Gerrera is, which... No.
Saw Gerrera.
No, I think you're right.
Is where is he? Is Saw Gerrera? I don't remember what planet Saw Gerrera is on in the Clone Wars. Actually.
Oh man, people at home are yelling at their phones right now.
Where is he?
Where they know because they're saying the planet.
I don't even know where he is on Rogue One. Well, I know that in the Clone Wars episode, Ahsoka Tano, Anakin's there for a little bit, but he leaves right away. Ahsoka leaves a group of rebels on to like stage a revolt against the city, and I think I just remember some commando droids like being mostly in charge, and Saw Gerrera, of course, leads in a group. And then, of course, and obviously in Rogue One, he's in Jeddah. But where, what planet is Jeddah on? Or is Jeddah the planet? I'm pretty sure Jeddah's the city.
Jeddah's the city. Pretty sure.
Gosh, I'm embarrassing. You don't know this.
And then in Rebels, Saw Gerrera is on.
Oh, is he? Is Saw Gerrera in Rebels?
Mm-hmm. He looks more like our good friend.
Who I met.
Yes.
Forrest Whitaker, who I met, and it was very nice.
He shook his hand.
And he was a very nice guy. Very Forrest man. Whitaker. You're gonna be the first. Is he?
Mm-hmm. Well, they go to Geonosis.
So obviously, if he looks like Forrest Whitaker, this is after Rogue One.
No.
No?
He spoiler, he dies in Rogue One.
I'm sorry, I meant after Rogue One was made.
Oh, yes.
That they included Saw Gerrera. Forrest Whitaker, if you are listening to this podcast, you're going to be the first celebrity where I don't offer to fight. Just come on the podcast.
Come on the podcast,
we'll chat.
Whitaker.
We can talk about whatever you want.
Anything. I'll talk about anything with Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah. Are you kidding? I talk about anything to have him on the podcast. Oh, that's going to be our... That's our arc. We're going to get Forrest Whitaker.
That's our arc. And then we'll die. We'll get Forrest Whitaker and then kill ourselves.
And what a... I mean...
Are what a
you,
way to go.
I'd be so happy.
What a way to go.
Okay, back to episode one. What was I talking about?
Well, I was saying how it has a good, like, progression and learning about things in the world. Like, establishing things very, very well. Like, especially without saying them. Like, nobody ever says, like... Nobody says a whole lot of like, oh, the Empire is like shitty, you know? Like they're like just a bunch of like randos wherever. But you get that through like the Stormtrooper's armor being all shitty and broken down, you know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the I forget the planet. I'm bad with
Navarro
planets today. Navarro, doesn't it have like spikes with Stormtrooper helmets on
Tatooine.
It outside the Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Outside Mos Eisley Cantina.
Interesting.
I just rewatched them.
Right. Well, I don't. I don't know if people remember, but I think it was the Star Wars Celebration that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
We went for a day, which was so cool.
Amazing. It was the best day of my life.
Yeah, it was so awesome. Where I met Forrest Whitaker. No bit. That's actually what happened.
Yes.
And said, I think that looks like Forrest Whitaker. And then he was like, hey. And I was like, oh my god, that is Forrest Whitaker.
I was like, nah, that's not Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
No way.
He wouldn't be here.
He wouldn't be walking. He wasn't doing a signing, I don't think.
He probably had... He probably was on his break and was just walking.
I don't think I remember him seeing him doing
He wouldn't have been there if he wasn't doing
But, like, I don't know. Maybe Forrest Whitaker. Maybe he wants to come on the podcast and talk about Star Wars.
Forrest
maybe he's
Whitaker,
a huge fan.
Come on the show. Come on the podcast. We'd be happy to have you. We would. Oh, that's. I mean, it's our arc is the thing. So, you know, you'd be fulfilling a lot of little boys' dreams. Mm-hmm. We're both 8 and we have cancer, so.
All proceeds from this episode will go to 8-year-old boys.
No, I'm trying to get monetized.
All proceeds.
Yeah, all proceeds go to 8-year-old boys with cancer. These 8-year-old boys. At the celebration, which we didn't see, they had a little preview of The Mandalorians. They showed, like, I don't know how much they showed, but someone filmed it.
Because we didn't want to wait in line for that.
I don't know if that was even on our day. Because I know we didn't see the Skies of Skywalker preview.
Yeah.
We just weren't really interested in that. But...
We did see the big trailer for the Fallen Order.
Yeah, we did. And we saw Dave Filoni and Dee Bradley Baker.
Yeah.
This is now a Star Wars Celebration podcast.
That was awesome.
That was really awesome. They are cool. They are cool. Anyway.
Remember when he said Dee Bradley Baker
spoke? He spoke like a clone and he was
Captain Rex's voice.
He was like, well done, troopers. Like, enjoy. Yeah, it was really nice. Dee Bradley Baker, come on the show.
Oh my God, come on the show.
We'll do a whole episode for you. Forrest Whitaker and Dee Bradley Baker, we will do a whole episode for each of you. It's just hard. Can I talk about what I want to talk about?
Yeah.
And it is they put out, someone leaked footage from the episode. I hope you're editing all the and the spaces I leave.
Absolutely. I'll do that. I'll edit out every single we say.
Do we have a lot of those? Anyway, someone leaked the footage, and I was not impressed with it at all, because the first thing you see is Salacious B. Crumb on a spit, like a fried Salacious B. Crumb to be eaten, and which a lot of people forget, you won a trivia contest.
Yes, I did.
As stated in the last episode.
Yes.
And it just seemed like, you know, it's Boba Fett in silver armor, and he walks past Salacious B. Crumb. And he walks past stormtroopers, and he meets Werner Herzog, and they briefly talk about bounty hunting. Although he does say the line, "Bounty hunting is a complicated profession," which
is great.
I mean, that's not.
I think, especially the way Werner Herzog delivers it.
Absolutely, yeah, it's a perfect storm. It's going to be one of those iconic lines when this, when of course, because it's kind of a cult classic right now. But once the Dumb Nerd Thing episode breaks it open, this will be a huge, crazy hit.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make Mandalorian popular.
Yeah. And they won't remember us when they're at the top. But it just seemed like a celebrity cameo. Remember Stormtroopers. Remember Salacious B. Crumb.
Everybody remembers Salacious B. Crumb.
Yeah! It just felt like... Well, people know that image. Certainly Star Wars fans know. They might not know that his name is Salacious B. Crumb. And even if they do know, they probably don't know that his middle initial is B. And even further, they probably don't know that the B stands for Bartholomew. But still, it felt very sequel, like, celebrity, remember this. And I was just like, oh, this is going to be more crap. And
hold on, I'm sorry. I know what you're saying. But I'm also laughing at the idea of Werner Herzog is like this big celebrity they bring in to, like, get the kids involved.
somebody's completely tone deaf.
Okay, we got Baby Yoda to get like suburban moms in. You know, we got like all the action to get
Boba
the
Fett
nerves
with
in.
Guns.
You know, we got Boba Fett, and then we get like the teens. We got Werner Herzog.
who are the people that? Who was the short list that Werner Herzog was on? I'm gonna say Richard Attenborough.
They got Richard Attenborough in?
No, these are like the people, these are like the final list.
Oh,
that Werner
okay.
Herzog eventually got the part. Richard Attenborough, I'm going to say, end of list. That's all I can think of.
David Attenborough.
That's actually what I was thinking of first.
I think Richard he might be dead. One of them I think is dead.
Oh,
that's why he didn't make it.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't get the part.
I hope it was not the one in Joseph. David Attenborough. I hope David Attenborough is dead. I hope it's not Richard, because he's in Joseph and Amazing Technical Dreamcoat. And I'd like to see them put it on Broadway.
One last time.
Yeah, one last time.
Okay, so the first two episodes are very the first three episodes are very, like, narrative. It's the arc of him getting Baby Yoda back and saving him.
We only have talked about the first so far.
Right.
The second episode, he is the Jawas. I hate that the Jawas have red eyes. Like, because, like, different...
It's fine that they have red eyes until the toy is released and it says off-world Jawas.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's such a toy thing that it makes me so mad, because it's such a marketing thing, and like, oh, you can't get the yellow eyes Jawa, you gotta get the red eyes. Stupid. But I love the use of the Sandcrawler. I thought that was great for the story, and I love that he gets his ass kicked by Jawas.
By Jawas.
That's great.
Yeah.
It makes the universe so real, so lived in, because they're like, it's just really good. And of course, the best part of that, well, seeing Baby Yoda use the Force on the Mudhorn is very cute.
Mm-hmm.
He fights the Mudhorn, and you know, there's not really much to discuss. He saves the egg for them, and they all start eating the egg.
It's great.
That's so funny. I don't know if they mean it to be as funny as it is, but it's hilarious.
I think so, yeah. And then like you're saying, getting his ass kicked is so important, because especially with the sequel trilogy, it's in the prequels as well. Like, characters are just rubber. Like, they're just invincible.
I actually think it's worse in the prequels. Like, I think of Anakin.
Yeah, no, I mean, at least I guess people's limbs get chopped off in the prequels.
Yeah, you're right.
But, and like nobody gets fucking injured.
Nobody gets beat by Jawas.
In the sequels, you know, like, they're just running down hallways and gunning down a bunch of stormtroopers. Like, there's not a sense of danger, you know? But, like, to skip ahead a lot, when I'm watching the finale, after everything I've seen,
all bloody and
I'm thinking people might die. Yeah. I'm thinking main characters. I'm thinking maybe even the Mandalorian
might die.
And
main characters do die.
Yeah, because they do. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know how they're going to get out or if they will. Because, like, the world just feels real. Because Star Wars isn't, like, that's the problem with Jedi, is the power creep of Jedi. Because they feel like they have to one-up the previous installment of Jedi.
Jedi, you know, meaning the movie, or Jedi meaning the characters?
Characters, the abilities of the Jedi, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they're just like, they have laser swords and they can move things with their mind, and then they're doing flips.
Yeah,
and
then they're the best fighters ever.
Yeah. Like, I felt the same way I felt about, like, a lot of the prequel fights as I did about in Rise of Skywalker, when Rey and Kylo are fighting in the sea.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, doing huge flips, and it's like...
And they jump.
These aren't humans.
No.
These are weird alien things that I don't know.
Right.
These are weird alien things that I don't know how tough they are.
Right.
You know? And then he gets stabbed, and then she heals him, and it's like, okay, all right. What, I mean...
Whatever. Well, that's a different issue.
This is a whole other thing. Point is...
I forgot that our previous episode came out before The Skies of Skywalker.
Skies of Skywalker.
Yes. But yeah, he gets his ass kicked by Jawas, and then he gets the egg, which is just a snack for them.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Great.
That's so funny.
It's great.
They have the writers have, they're not trying to make it funny. They just happen to have a good sense of humor.
With still, like, it feeling important, because you find out that Baby Yoda has the Force, you know?
Episode 3.
No, I like it. I like a lot that he gives up Baby Yoda, and he gets his sick, shiny new armor, and he goes to leave, and then he's stopped, you know, by the plant from before, and now we have the payoff of the little ball that he's reaching for the stick, and it has the ball.
Oh, he's playing with it at the beginning, and I didn't remember that episode.
And though. He has a fucking full-on helmet and armor set, and you can see, like, a whole range of emotion and decision-making going on in his head. He's wearing a fucking garbage can on his head, and you can get it all from it, because it's just good storytelling. And then, I think
it's
a great
action scene.
Yeah, I definitely think it's up there. I think, because, honestly, you know... That if you take the first three episodes, you got a full ass Star Wars movie. That's very good.
This is not.
I mean, that's like 2.5 hours less, more, round.
Of the first two.
First three episodes.
No, that's not 2.5.
45 hours and a half.
They're not 45.
15. Yeah.
I totally blanked on what I was gonna say. Hold on, we're talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, and then he goes back to Navarro, and he goes back into the town and saves Baby Yoda in a pretty good action
this
scene,
is not
and then loses.
This is not necessarily something that I... This is a common complaint most people have that I never really understand. But, like, when people talk about characters making decisions that they would or wouldn't make, or what things don't make sense, I kind of am a fan of, like, letting the characters make the decisions that will make for the most interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
But in this episode, every single decision is very... Like, that is something that...
Motivated.
Yes, it's very motivated by character. He would... It's something that I believe he would do.
You believe it up to that, from what you've gotten up to that point, you believe it. And then as the series goes on, it only becomes more sensible that he did that when you find out a bit more about him.
Yeah.
And you find out a bit, you find out a lot more about his character over the series. You find out a bit more about the lore, backstory, whatever, that the fact that he was a baby that was saved by Mandalorians, and then, you know, that's why he wanted to save this kid, and why he had sympathy for the kid.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't need to know the literal one-to-one reason for him saving the kid. You just believe it.
But it's not a backstory, like, why, you know, why he prefers the DL-15 to the QX-3175.
And it's not like, oh, you know,
it's not a real, like, emotional backstory.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, he was a kid who had a bounty on him and a bounty hunter spared him when he was a kid. No, he was a kid in a war-torn town that was saved by Mandalorians, and that made his whole, that defined his whole life. And so now, this is his opportunity to be the Mandalorian that saved him, you know?
But it's not even, like, self-seeking. He thinks, like, this is, like, his, like, Telos. Like, this is what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, just, oh, man.
He gives up almost his whole life for it, because there's that time where he's getting shot at.
After him.
He's getting shot at by all of the bounty hunters, and there's no other thing he can do, and he's sitting, he's looking at Baby Yoda, and Baby Yoda's looking back at him, and it's just like a direct shot on his helmet, on the garbage can. And it's just like, damn, he's a man that holds to his convictions, you know? He holds to his ideals. It's great. It's great stuff, and it makes for
and it's a character that
TV.
You want to root for.
Mm-hmm.
It just everything. It's rare. It's rare that I've ever said this about Star Wars, but they just do a great job.
And speaking of great jobs, your favorite episode, Episode 4.
Okay, it's not my favorite episode. I think we have the same favorite episode. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that, but it's not my favorite episode. But I think I like it a lot more than you do,
mm-hmm.
right? Isn't that true?
That is correct.
Episode 4. I love Episode 4. Even though there's some very... The worst part about Episode 4 is the line between reference and ripoff,
mm-hmm.
for Seven Samurai. where it's the same shot of... Okay, I just gotta clear the air now. Get it out of the way. The actress who plays Cara Dune... Yes, we are. She is my wife in real life. I just want to...
She's your wife. She's my girlfriend.
Yeah, she's... You know, you have a poly thing. I just want to clear the air now. We're not shilling for her. Mm-hmm. She's not paying us in money. So it's totally okay.
Not paying us with money.
That was a joke. We are married, and of course... you guys are dating.
Yeah.
I love her.
She's the light of your life.
Please don't come on the show. I'll be way too nervous. I won't be able
to
say anything.
I'll be far too nervous. I'll be looking at her.
And don't come over and beat me up.
Look at how big her arms are.
Yeah, don't stand behind me and strangle me.
Yeah, don't punch me in the face.
Oh, that would suck. That would really suck. God,
that would be bad.
Don't suck, actress who plays Cara Dune.
Don't punch me in the face.
She's
a real
real martial artist.
Yeah. She'd be really good at kicking my ass.
Okay, here's what I don't like about Episode 4. My very short list of complaints. One, it's weird to see your wife in a film, because you just think of all the good times you've had. I think of our wedding, till mm-hmm. that do us part. But really,
for your wedding, it was till death do the three of us part.
Yeah, and do dead. Us. It was us, a plural us, yeah. All us is our plural, but... Pluralis is also the bad guy in the Dumb Nerd Thing movie.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to make multiples of everything.
Yeah, which would... Can I talk?
You did the bit.
Yeah, well, I didn't like it.
Okay.
Anyway.
Complaints with episode 4.
Okay, complaints with episode 4. One is the line between ripoff and homage. In Two Seven Salmon, which I just said.
Army of Darkness, too.
Yes, and by extension, Army of Darkness. which might also serve as a complaint for Army of Darkness. Two is one of Cara Dune's lines, where they're, the Mandalorian comes to this town, and he meets this lady, and she's like, "Can you protect our town?" You know, and that's not exactly what happens. And he's like, "Oh, I've never taken off my mask in front of everyone." She's like, "What about me?" And he's like, "Nah, bitch, that's not gonna happen." So they save the town from an AT-ST and a bunch of people who look like dogs, which are this species.
Klaatu.
Nice. Not Klaatuinians?
Klaatu. Well, okay, you're right.
Fine. Okay. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure you're
right. So the Klaatuinians are the Klaatu, ones that look like dogs.
Famous for them, from named after the phrase Klaatu brought a Nictu, which first appeared in Day of the Earth Stood Still, and secondly appeared in
Army of Darkness.
I'm just saying, get Bruce Campbell in Mandalorian Season 2.
Oh, he'd be great.
He'd be great.
I'd much rather him than Temuera Morrison.
Bruce Campbell as Boba Fett?
No, I don't want Boba Fett in Season 2. We'll talk about Season 2 later.
The line that's so bad.
They save the town, and this is before Baby Yoda is killed by the sniper, and this is where I'll talk about the repeating shots that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Oh, you're not gonna stay here with this, like, chick who's totally into you," and she says it in such an unbelievable way, in like a very clear best friend tomboy who eventually I imagine becomes the love interest in a way that just pulled me right out of the story. And I was like, "Oh, I wonder what she says." She's like, "Oh, you're not gonna stay here with this totally hot chick who's like so into you." It's something. It's not that.
You know what's weird is that she says widow. Close. She calls her this, like, the widow, which is like,
this is not what happened to her.
To like emphasize that her husband is dead, so she's available. You could settle down with this widow.
She says something so like out of universe. There's a lot of stuff that's like people say is out of universe, like Han Solo saying, "I'll see you in hell in Empire." Does not take me out of the story. If anything, I'm like drawn even more into the story because it's such a badass line.
Yeah.
I don't think about heaven and hell in Star Wars. You know, I'm sure that there are people who, you know, dissect that and understand. I was going to say nerds. To sit at home and dissect that and like, you're like, "Wait a minute. Shouldn't heaven not be?" But it's such a common expression that I don't care. But totally hot chick is so out of place even today. And it's out of place.
She doesn't say totally hot chick.
She says something egregious that I was like, "Ugh, that's gross." Cara Dune, don't you understand that women, you know, they have rights now. They can vote. That's pretty fucked up.
I love Cara Dune. One of my favorite stories is Gina Carano talking about filming the episode, and she's like talking about her like costume that she has.
Well,
and
I
she's
can't
like,
watch her behind the scenes because I can't understand why I can't speak for like an hour after because like there's a frog in my throat because I'm so nervous.
But she's talking about like how like she's like self-conscious about the size of her arms because her arms are so big, and like she's like, "Oh, I don't want to show them off." And Jon Favreau was like, "No, I want people to see how big your arms are," and like that like gave her a lot of like confidence and like self-confidence. I don't know what Jon Favreau was talking about, but like
this is not a pro Jon Favreau podcast. But Jon Favreau, you were on The Sopranos, so please come on our show.
Yeah, come on the show.
Talk about
Gina Carano's arms and the gorgeous Sopranos. They are. Is she's so strong?
The roof is soft. Tar.
Crush me. And unfortunately, we'll have to cut it there. We go on for quite a while about The Mandalorian. So tune in for the next episode where we talk even more about The Mandalorian.